Friday from noon to 2 on the only station making wave, WHFR 89.3 FM and on WHFR.FM.
Motor Live Drive at 5.
The only local weekly live music show on the radio.
Every Thursday at 5 o'clock for a full hour.
With a full spectrum of local music.
Rock.
Folk.
Jazz.
Blues.
Singer-songwriters.
Rap.
Reggae.
Indie bands.
And rhythm and blues.
If you miss a show, check out the podcast.
There are over 200 musical performances available at the station website, WHFR.FM.
Motor Live Drive at 5, Thursday, 5 till 6 p.m.
On WHFR, we don't just talk about supporting local music, we're doing it.
It's that time of year. Time to register at Henry Ford Community College for the 2013 fall semester. Most of the classes that you will take at Henry Ford Community College will transfer to major four-year institutions in the area. Also, HFCC has some of the lowest tuition rates around. First-time students can go to the Welcome Center on campus. Call 800-585-HFCC or go to the web at www.hfcc.edu for more information. Fall semester starts August 22nd, so register today to get the best choice for classes. See you there.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Laura Berlin. She is an American Sign Language interpreter and professional psychic who specializes in readings for the deaf, among other modalities. Laura, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for having me here today.
Well, thanks. And I just want to start off, I talked to you at the woman's show out in Novi, that's where I first met you and talked to you, and that really struck me as being an interesting thing, the fact that you do sign readings for deaf people. That's something that, as a person who can hear, never really occurred to me that there would be a market for that. How did you come to decide to do that?
Well, I've always been interested in sign language when my boys were younger, and I had some books that you'll see me signing.
Yeah, that's
occasionally.
Okay. Right, that's fine.
But anyhow, so I used to teach them a little bit of sign language, and after I got divorced, I worked at this bar, and I'm thinking, how can I increase my business? So I said, well, you know, deaf people can use readings also. They could use help, or they finding out, knowing what's happening in their future, what's going on with them health-wise, different things. So I decided to look into sign language classes, and I found that at Oakland Community College they had an ITP program, interpreter training program. So I entered that thinking that I would just take a couple classes. I found that I loved sign language. I found out that I could get a degree in interpreting, so everything just seemed to
flow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing readings for about 22 years professionally. I've been psychic since I've been age of 4. And
really?
Yeah. And so when people found out that I'm an interpreter and doing sign language readings for deaf, I mean, I've gotten a lot of clients that way.
Mm-hmm. Do you do parties that have deaf people? I mean, do they actually contact you as the fact that this is one of your specialties? that you're able to do that? Do they like to, I guess, congregate and just have you go through and do multiple readings?
Well, yes, deaf people, their culture is totally different than hearing culture. Mm-hmm. Deaf people just love to get together. They sign for hours and hours. It takes them, you know, if you want to say, oh, I'll see you later, or, you know, and they start out in the kitchen and they say their goodbyes. 2 hours later, they're still saying, see you later, you know, let's mm-hmm. call. And 3 hours later, we're still there talking. Mm-hmm. So when I do readings for the deaf, some like group readings, but mm-hmm. basically it's one-on-one individual. There was, I think it was in Lansing, there was a woman's show in Lansing, and one of my friends was there as a psychic, and I noticed out of the corner of my eye, she came with another person, and she asked if I would do a reading for this woman, and she was deaf. So I said, fine, I don't have a problem with that. And when I was done, you know, our hands were going, mm-hmm. and I noticed that there were people watching us signing. Mm-hmm. So they were very interested in what we were doing. And I had, after the reading was done, I had people asking me questions about, well, how did you get into sign? How do you know, how can you figure, you know, because I hold something of theirs. I do psychometry mm-hmm. where I hold an object of somebody's yeah. and I get gut feelings. But sometimes it's a little challenging because while I'm holding it, you use two hands to sign. So I have to put the object down and then I have to sign and then they ask me questions and I have to pick up the object again. And, you know, so it's a little bit challenging, but, you know, everybody's satisfied. They like their reading and I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Getting it to them.
It's interesting. I mean, again, there's something you don't think about, but you would have to juggle things around in order to give a reading. Now, when they come to you, are they a bit apprehensive as to how good you can do this or how well you can do it?
You know, it's just like hearing people. Everybody's a little bit, especially I like to call them newbies, new people who've never had a reading before. Mm-hmm. They're skeptical. You know, sometimes they test or they say, can you guess my name? And deaf people are the same way. Sometimes they're skeptical. But once they see I'm in the flow, and they really have to trust you. Deaf people really have to trust because they don't want you. It's like a code of ethics. They don't want you talking about their business. So if I tell them something, I always say I have code of conduct. I don't say anything. Whatever I tell you, I forget anyhow. So it's like you don't have to worry about me, you know, saying anything to anybody.
Mm-hmm. So if they asked you what might be a sensitive question about their business or something, that would just be between you and your client, and that would be it.
Yeah, it's like the psychic code of ethics. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you don't tell anybody else's business. It's private.
Right. Do you ever have your client write things down, perhaps, or do they just...
No, no.
Just watch for the hands and that's it.
Yeah, if they're full deaf, mm-hmm. that's big D deaf, you know, I don't normally write things down, but if they're oral, usually we can communicate.
Right.
I can understand them, even though the voices are a little bit muted. I can still, you know, I have to focus, but I can understand them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so,
I don't have a problem.
Right, communication's never been a problem then.
No.
Mm-hmm. It must be rather rewarding to be able to help a certain segment that, again, you don't really think of, but they want to be available and able to ascertain what is in their future.
Right. It's equal access.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hearing, deaf, equal access.
Right.
They both get the same.
Right. Now, when you're working with people that do hear it, do you find yourself signing still?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I have. One time I had a woman come to me, and she sat down with me. I did a reading for her, and I started signing. She said, how do you know that I know sign language? I said, oh, I'm just psychic.
Yeah.
And then I told her, no, I'm really a sign language interpreter.
Right.
She was just shocked that someone else that communicated with her.
Right.
New sign language. And then she brought me a client who was deaf.
Right. But that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you've been doing that how long? I mean, you specialize in that for how long?
Sign language?
Yeah.
5 years.
5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. But prior to that, you were just a regular old psychic. Not that there's anything wrong with that, of course. But, you know.
I am a good psychic.
Yes, right. You know, I don't mean to demean you by any means. But, you know, it's just the fact that, you know, you found a niche that other people, I'm sure, didn't even think of.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So I'm sure people appreciate it.
They do.
Know,
they
people.
Really do, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do they really really thank you? I mean, how do they express themselves? I mean,
well, they tell me in sign language that they love, you know, when they do this, the I love you, the sign for I love you, you know.
Yeah, she is showing me that sign. I know nobody can see it out there, but I mean, it's interesting, you know, because Laura is talking with her hands too, and I mean, it's something that obviously you do all the time, so it's just second nature to you almost, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, no one in your family, though, is deaf, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But right. This is just something. How did you get interested in just learning sign language? It just, again, was something that you brainstormed on and just thought that this could be something for you?
It's, you know, when you're in elementary school, you know, everybody learns the ABCs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I learned the ABCs. That's all I learned. And I remember that. I think it was like in second grade, third grade. And I always kept it in the back of my mind. And as I grew up and I had children, I used to see in the adult education books that used to get sent to you,
right.
I saw sign language classes. And I said, oh, maybe I should do that. Because I did teach my boys some sign language. As a matter of fact, I have three boys. And my third son went to Central Michigan and he took a sign language class.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to communicate together. It was very cool. I loved it.
Yeah, right. You can go out to a restaurant, nobody knows what you're saying, or very few people know what you're saying.
Yeah,
you know?
It was funny. One time my son and I were driving, and I started signing, and he says, Mom, what are you doing? I said, I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, right. And again, nobody knows. You know, so
right.
I guess that's a plus, right?
Right.
Now, you say you were psychic since the age of four. What was your first memory that indicated you were a psychic?
Well, I didn't know it was a psychic, actually. And my mom always used to tell me that I'm crazy because I used to tell my mom things. Like, Mom, Grandma's on the phone. And the phone 5 minutes later would ring and there was my grandmother. Or I would say, Mommy, did you know that, you know, Aunt Ethel is in the hospital? No, Laura, you're wrong. And a couple of days later, you know, we'd get the phone call that my aunt was in the hospital. And she used to say, Laura, don't tell anybody. I don't want anybody knowing I have a crazy daughter. So
that made you feel really good, right?
Yeah, but I knew what I knew, and I don't mm-hmm. know why I didn't. I thought I was always crazy. I mean, dreams I would have. At the age of 16, I had a continuing dream for 1 month that I was kneeling next to a canopy bed, and I was crying, and I didn't know who was in the bed. So after that month, my dream stopped. 2 weeks later, my grandfather died. So in my mind, I connected the canopy bed to a coffin.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was 18, I was having boyfriend problems, and I needed to talk to somebody. So it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I turned the lights out, and I'm just looking around, and I knew I couldn't talk to my mom because my mom always thought I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking in the mirror, I'm looking in the doorway, in the middle of the door, and I see a silhouette of somebody wearing a hat and an overcoat. And it came floating to me, and it was the first time I'd ever seen spirit. It freaked me out. It was probably closer than you are to me, and it was my grandfather. And I felt his hand on my shoulder, and he said, Laura, don't worry, everything will be all right. Well, I freaked out. I pulled the covers over my head. I kicked, I screamed, I cried. My mom comes running in and says, Laura, what's the matter? I said, Mom, I just saw Grandpa. Laura, go to bed. But Mom. No, Laura, you're crazy. Go to sleep. And so that next week, we went to my aunt's house for dinner, and my uncle had just moved into a new home. And all he had was a couch, dining room table with chairs, and a bed upstairs. So it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden, he sees a light on in the kitchen, and he slept with a baseball bat, and he crept slowly with his baseball bat, and he saw the light on in the kitchen with a dining room chair that was in the dining room. So he walked into the kitchen, and he saw my grandfather sitting on the chair, and my uncle knelt in front of him, and he put his hand on my uncle's shoulder and said, Bernie, don't worry, it'll be all right. And I looked at my uncle. I said, no way, that did not happen. He says, Laura, it really happened. I said, no, really? I must not be crazy. So then things progressed, and I thought, oh, maybe I am psychic. And then I took psychic development classes and Reiki healing. I'm a Reiki master, so I do energy healing, mm-hmm. hypnotherapy, and do trance readings where I put somebody into a trance and I do a reading for them. So whatever suggestions I make to them, you know, they keep it in their subconscious and either help them with confidence or love or whatever their issues are, I help them up with that with psychic readings.
Mm-hmm. How successful is that usually?
Well, I've been doing it for a little while, and I would say, well, I'm like 50% for now, 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I get good feedback on it. I mean, there's more than one session that you have to go through
right.
in order for it to, but the feedback I've gotten is really good.
Right. You can't just do it once and expect
no.
miracles.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I also teach self-hypnosis classes.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, though. I mean, I know self-hypnosis and hypnosis just of itself can help people. I
right.
mean, it takes them to a special place, makes them relax, and I think that opens up their mind to different types of behavior and different attitudes, different thoughts. Has that
right.
been your experience?
Yes, and you can change it. You can mm-hmm. change it. I did, as a matter of fact, I did a trance reading for the woman who, my mentor, who I went through my class with, and I did a reading for her in trance, and she wanted to know about love. So, okay, she called me back about 3-4 weeks later. She says, "You won't believe what happened. The feelings that you told me I should feel in my subconscious and how I know that I'm supposed to be with the person I'm supposed to be with happened exactly the way you told me I should feel." And now she's getting married.
Well, that's a good, that's a happy ending, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And briefly, I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Laura Berlin. She is an American Sign Language interpreter and professional psychic who specializes in readings for the deaf, among other modalities. And we're talking about those other modalities right now. And the trance readings, how do you start with that? Do you tell people what they're going to experience, or do you not do that because you don't want to influence anything they might receive? How does that work?
Well, what I do is I have a meeting with them, and we talk about what their issues are, what they want to work on. And I go into explaining induction. I go into what they're going to feel, what they're going to sense. I tell them that they're going to be aware of everything that I hear, everything that they hear. What happens is the conscious relaxes where the subconscious opens up. So when I suggest something to them, whatever their issues are and they want to work on, when the subconscious opens, then I'm able to make suggestions to them. They can take the session if they want, and so they can go home and listen to it if they want, you know, support, if they want more of, because it doesn't work one time. You have to have like 2 or 3 sessions.
Mm-hmm. For any effect to be felt.
For effect, right.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you do that, does it reach the point where people can't really relax? I mean, do you have trouble sometimes with people? I mean, I would imagine some are more open to being hypnotized than others. Does it take sometimes a longer induction or more time, more sessions with a certain person in order for them to benefit?
If it's somebody whose mind is always going, I will suggest to them during induction. I tell them whatever they're thinking, just ignore it. It sounds like white noise. That's all it is. And focus on my voice. So when they're able to focus on my voice, then I can take them into a deeper hypnotic state, more relaxed state.
Mm-hmm.
And then my suggestions are able to go into their subconscious.
Right. And then you have other clients that I'm sure go under right away and
oh, yeah.
go deeply under.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun to watch them, you know, because then they have the rapid eye movement
mm-hmm.
and their arms are really limp. You know, I can test that, different ways of making sure that they're into the relaxation.
Mm-hmm. How do you test for that?
Well, what I do is I take them into the induction, and then when I take them deeper into relaxation, I tell them that I'm going to test their hand. And it feels like a limp, wet dish rag. And, you know, so I test it. I pick it up. And, you know, if it goes limp, they're in there.
Mm-hmm. That's proof.
Yeah, that's proof.
Right. Now, when you start to suggest stuff, again, can you tell when people might be receiving that? Or is it difficult to do that?
You can't really tell the first time. But, mm-hmm. you know, they'll come back for a second session. And I'll say, well, how can I help you? What is going on with you? What have you been feeling, or what kind of shift have, I don't like to use change, I use the word shift. What kind of shift have you been feeling since our last meeting? And the successes are really wonderful. And I say, okay, what would you like to work on today? What are your issues today? Well, they'll say, well, I still want to continue with working on weight loss, or I still want to continue working on not smoking, or I still want to, you know, I haven't found the love of my life yet. I still want to go into that a little bit more and get more feeling, or really know what I want to feel. You know,
right. So. Everybody wants to find their soulmate, right?
Right, right.
That's what they come to you a lot for?
You know, it varies. Some people have issues with soulmates or money or career. I don't know what path to take. Where do I go? What do I do? Or family. Will I have children? You know, I'm sick. What happens? So there's a variety of reasons why people come to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know also through past life regression, some people have been helped because they've had problems in past lives and it's been carried over to this lifetime. Have you had those experiences?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Many. I have helped a couple people with, there was one woman that I did a hypnosis for past life. And she had anger issues, major anger issues, and she couldn't get past relationships. Mm-hmm. So I took her into her past life. I just ask questions, and she tells me. I don't tell her what her past life is. So what I do is I allow them to see who they are. Important. I take them to important events in that lifetime. I allow them to see their death only as a movie without feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I ask them, who is with you now that is with you then?
Mm-hmm.
I ask, what lesson did you learn? So they will tell me, and then I'll say, okay, this is how we get rid of it. Or sometimes people have issues with, you know, with parents, or, you know, from past lives, or, you know, I can't swim, I don't like swimming, I'm afraid of the water. Well, you know, they could have been on a boat coming over from another land, and there were rough waters, and they could have drowned. So we take care of issues like that.
Right, and does that prove to be successful, usually?
I would say 70%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not 100.
Good. Well, no, but that's a very good rate, though.
Right.
I mean, you know. Yeah. To help people. Now, when you do the induction, what do you do? I mean, do you take people down a stairway, or do you have them rise above, you know, the clouds? Or
they get to choose. I will. Mm-hmm. I will. Whatever you feel comfortable. I take. You know. So.
Right. I think that's very important because it does matter, because people don't want to go downstairs. They want
right.
to, you know, fly among the clouds or whatever it might be. Whatever. You know, takes them to their so-called happy place or whatever.
Right.
And I really appreciate the fact that that's what you do, because I don't like when people, they just have one way of doing it and that's it. And it doesn't work for everybody.
Right. So when I meet a client for the first time, what I will do is I will say, I want you to close your eyes. And I will say, tell me if you can see what a zebra looks like. And if they say yes, then I know they have vision. Close your eyes. What does a lemon taste like? Do you pucker? Do you not? If they say no, then I know taste is not involved. Do you know what it feels like to touch a soft cotton ball or something soft? Then I know they have feel. So that's how I know which way to induce them.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody is different, or they might hear something, or they might, you know, visualize something. So that's how I know. How I have an interview with them first.
Right. Well, I know I have had some experience with that. And they also suggest, I mean, maybe just take a room in your house and just walk through it, you know, and, you know, what do you see? Can you visualize, you know, where a certain table is, or this, that, and the other? And
right.
again, it's like you're saying, it's a visual thing.
Right, but some people can't always visualize. You mm-hmm. know, some people, I can't taste. I can't close my eyes and taste. I can't do that. But I can see and I can hear
mm-hmm.
and I can get feel. I can. Mm-hmm. So that's how I do my self-hypnosis.
So well. If somebody, I guess, prefers the sense of feel, how would you go about inducing them into hypnosis? What would you concentrate
well, the more
on?
They, the more they touch something, the softer it is, the more they relax.
Okay, so you might say something, you're imagining touching a cotton towel or whatever it is that really feels, you know,
right.
relaxing to them.
Yeah. And then I just take them, you know, feel the relaxation going deep into your arms, and, you know, your breathing becomes more shallow and more relaxed, and that's how I take them deeper into induction.
No, I like that approach because, again, there's no cookie-cutter way to do it for everybody.
Right, because everybody's different.
Right, you know, and the same way with learning. I mean, everybody learns in different ways, so same thing applies for going under hypnosis.
Right.
So what do you enjoy doing the most? Is it the trance work, or what is the best? Do you have a favorite?
You mean when I do hypnosis?
Right. Well, whenever you do anything psychic, I mean, what is it that you kind of prefer, or you love it all?
I do readings by psychometry, and that means I pick up an object that belongs to you. I hold it, whether it's a watch or a ring or car keys or cell phones, driver's license, a photo. I can read off of photos. So I will touch that, and I will see, hear, and or get gut feelings of both things. So I like to do that. I like to do psychometry. I do palmistry. I love doing palmistry because the hand tells, you know, your dominant hand is your future. Your non-dominant hand is what was. And the line, most people don't know this, but the lines in your hand, as your situations change, as your decisions change, as your personality changes, the lines in your hand change every 6 to 12 months. So I usually tell people, watch for the line, you know, this could be your marriage line. So watch for your marriage line. If you find another, if you're not happy in your relationship, you know, watch to see if there's another line that comes up that's more distinctive, and you'll know, oh, there might be something new coming in. Or if they've never seen it before, and, oh, no, my marriage is happy, I'm really happy, all of a sudden, you know, something happens, and it's like, oh, my God, there's another line in my hand. Oh, I'm not really happy in my marriage. So, you know, then they can just check their hand.
Right. You just can't blame it on age. Like, you know, I'm getting older, I'm getting more wrinkled or whatever. Those things mean different things, right?
Right, right.
So even though your hand may look like a prune, it all means something. Is that it?
That's true.
Okay, well. Yeah. I'll have to look at my hand more closely. But, I mean, do you do that to yourself? Give yourself readings doing that?
I don't like to give my... I don't do readings for myself. I did one time, and that was when I found out I had cancer.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a very strange way I found out. I took a meditation class, and I was very excited. I said, wow, this is great. I can meditate. So I came home that night, and I meditated, and I saw the word cancer in bold red letters. And I said to my guides, not my guys, but my guides, G-U-I-D-E-S, I said, who's got cancer? Maybe a friend or family member? Who's got it? And nothing. I didn't know who it was. So the second night, meditated, saw the word cancer in bold red letters again. And I said, you have to help me. You have to tell me who's got cancer so I can help them. Well, anyhow, they wouldn't tell me. Third night, my aunt came to me in spirit. That was the second time I'd seen spirit. And my aunt died in 1982, and this was 1991. Anyhow, my aunt came to me in spirit and said, Laura, you need to take care of yourself, because if you don't, we're going to take you. I'm thinking, take me where? Oh, I'm 37. I have three young kids. You know, I have a nice life. Where are you going to take me? Just go to the doctor. And I said, okay, I'll think about it. So I came out of my meditation, and I got this gut feeling like maybe I should do something about it. So I called, made an appointment for the doctor. They said, and I insisted for some reason, I said, I insist on a mammogram. He says, you're too young. I said, no, this is what I want. So finally, after discussing it, he finally said, okay, go. Came out of the office crying hysterically. I couldn't put the key in my door. And I just said, oh, my goodness, I'm the one that's got cancer. I got the phone call next morning confirming that I did. But I had no signs, no signals. I had nothing. I had no idea. And my aunt really saved my life because she had died in 1982 from untreated breast cancer. So I thank her every day. And I figured, wow, what is my purpose on this earth plane? Why me? Why? I don't understand why. So my aunt helped me. She also came and helped my cousin because something negative was going to happen to him. And my cousin came to visit me. I said, you need to tell your sister on this day at this time, this is the situation that's going to happen. So you need someone watching your nephew. And she said, well, okay, I'll try. I said, this is what your mom is telling me. If not, he's not going to be around much longer. So she convinced her sister. and someone was walking around, opened the door, and saw him start to hurt himself. They called EMS, thank God, but my aunt was 2 hours off, and they saved his life. Mm-hmm. So I said, what is my purpose? Why me? And I thought about it, and all of a sudden, wow, my purpose is to help other people by doing channeling. I'm a medium. I channel mm-hmm. others from the other side. So this is what I've been doing ever since.
Right, and you're happy doing it.
Right? I love what I do.
Mm-hmm. Again, I want to remind everybody out there that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Laura Berlin. She is an American Sign Language interpreter and professional psychic who does specialize in readings for the deaf, but she also does many other modalities, and we're talking about some of those things right now. Now, did you hear your whole life that, Laura, you're crazy? You don't know what you're talking about, and how did that affect you?
I always doubted myself. Mm-hmm. I never had confidence in myself. I thought what I heard or I felt or I saw, I always kept it to myself. I'm a very quiet person. I'm very shy. I'm introverted. I mean, mm-hmm. to talk to me probably now, you wouldn't know that.
Right,
but
I wouldn't.
But, it when I found out that I did have a gift, it totally changed me. And after I had cancer, it totally changed me. It's mm-hmm. I have more confidence in myself. And my mother asked me for readings, mm-hmm. which was really strange.
So she came 180 degrees the other direction.
Right? Only after my father died in 1996. And so my mom was a widow for a while. And she says, she calls me, she lives in Las Vegas, and she calls me up and says, Laura, so what do you see for your mom? And I said, really, do I really need to do this? You really want a reading since you don't believe what I do?
Right.
Okay, I'm seeing you meeting somebody named Jack. Jack looks like he's about 6 foot tall with silver or white hair, and he's got really beautiful blue eyes. He's not somebody that you might want to date, but I feel that if you do, it would be a really good relationship. So if you want to go for it, do. So she's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, that's fine. So 3 months later, she calls me up. Guess what? Guess who I met at my friend's house? I don't know, Jack. Well, how did you know? His name is Jack. And he was exactly the way you described, but I can't go out with him. I said, why? Because he's got a girlfriend. So anyhow, Jack was interested, and my mother broke up with that girl, and my mom and Jack started dating.
Oh, yeah, so you're right. In the long run, you were right.
I was right, right. Yeah.
So do you ever tell your mother, see?
Yeah.
You know, kind of rub it in a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
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 And what does she say in return?
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I
believe
you.
She's a believer now?
Yeah. It was so funny. She calls the casinos her office. Mm-hmm. So she's at her office with Jack, and she put her number in for something, and they picked her number. So she calls me in a hurry. Says, Laura, pick a number, any number. I don't care what number you pick. I said, okay, 11. So they picked number 11. She won $50,000.
Wow, she owes you then, right? Did she give you a cut or no?
She gave me a hug. She sent me to Las Vegas.
Oh, that was it? Wow, thanks for, well, whatever. I guess something's better than nothing.
You know, but, I don't expect anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it for that. It's.
Is she a professional gambler or just likes to go to the casinos?
She calls it work. Mm-hmm. She goes to work, yeah.
She really does she make a living through gambling? I mean, there are people that are professional
gamblers. She can at times.
Mm-hmm.
She can.
Yeah. So you get a lot of phone calls when she's in
uh-huh.
casinos?
And, yeah.
Okay. Well, what about you yourself? I mean, do you ever get tempted just to go down to the casinos and, you know, start playing the numbers here and there or cards or anything like that?
Yeah, but it doesn't work for me.
Oh, really?
No. No, most of the time, oh my goodness, I've had so many experiences. There is a woman at the casino I was sitting next to,
mm-hmm.
and she was playing the video poker machines, and she was ready to leave. I said, no, stay where you are, because if you put $20 more in, you're going to win like four aces or with a kick or something.
Right.
Well, anyhow, she put $20 more in. She won the royal. She won the top. Was it the royal flush? Yeah. And she gave me $5.
And how much did she win?
$1,000. But I wasn't expecting anything.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. At least 10% would be nice. What's wrong with that? That's a bare minimum right there, if you ask me. But
it's
I guess, right. You help somebody out, they were happy, right?
Right.
Yeah. Now, can you predict who's going to win the Super Bowl? Because I'll be calling you up in late January if you can.
No, Call me up.
Yeah. Have people asked you for that kind of information?
Stocks.
Mm-hmm. And what do you tell people? Do you try to help them out?
I only tell them what they see. So, like, there was somebody who had information about selling something short or buying, they asked me about a stock name, and I gave them whatever I saw, I'd give them that information. But normally what happens is universe doesn't like me to do that.
Right.
So I kind of...
Right. Well, I know most psychers I've talked to, they don't use their gifts for that,
right.
You know, or try to help others necessarily. If they do win money, they like to give it away or something. You know,
yeah.
They don't want to keep it themselves because they realize they have gifts that maybe not all of us have or not to the degree that they have, and they want to help others, so they'll still give the money away even though they've won it, you know.
Right.
Most people would keep it and say, hey, wow, this is my lucky day or whatever, but they don't always act like that.
Right.
So is that what you do
if you
do win any money?
Just a rare occasion when I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, so I would give it to somebody. I don't have a problem with that.
And people ask you for lottery numbers? And
oh, all the time.
Really?
Yeah, lotto numbers, yeah.
Yeah.
I did do it for one woman, though. She said, please, I don't have anything. I can't even pay you. It's like, fine, that's fine. I said, I don't know. I saw 444, 4443 or 4446. So she played it, and she won $1,500.
Oh, see, you did your good deed for the day.
I did.
But again, it's very rewarding, I would imagine, when you can help people and help them improve their lives.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That's why I just love what I do. Back in the 90s when I found out that I was psychic and I took a psychic development class, I don't always like to tell people I'm a psychic. I will tell them I'm a prognosticator. Because
okay. Yeah, they don't know what that is.
They don't know what it is because you just never know. You know, someone could be very religious and then you don't want to know about that. So I tell them I'm a prognosticator. And I was online one day with somebody and she says, really, you're a prognosticator? How long have you been doing this for? I said, oh my goodness. Wow. Okay, well, I've been doing it for 5 years back in the 90s. He says, do you channel? I said, yes, I do. He says, well, I'm a private investigator. He lived in Atlanta at the time. And he says, there's a serial killer around and we're missing some children. Would you be interested in helping us out? I said, sure, I don't mind doing that, but you have to get permission from the parents first. If they give you permission, yes, I will. And I also need something of the children's, whether it's glasses. I don't really want clothes, but if it's a photo, I could do that. So he called me about a week later, and he said, come on down. We're going to pay. We want you down here. So they had me in the interrogation room, and the parents were not allowed in the room, but they were outside the room. And out of the seven missing, they found four of them. You know, some in shallow graves, but anyhow. Mm-hmm. The kids described what the person looked like, so the sketch artist compiled a photo, and I don't know if there's one or two, but they did apprehend a perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, it's like I didn't know what happened.
Right. How often have you done that kind of work?
I try not to do it often if I can help it because I get it bothers me. So very once in a while, because I still have one child that still comes to me. They can't go to the light. I keep telling her, go to the light, go to the light. So anyhow, so I don't really like doing it that often. Mm-hmm. I have done it for people. There was one woman who, what was her name? The woman who said she went to Puerto Rico and the husband chopped her up and put her in two different places. It was just recently here. I can't remember the name. But anyhow, someone asked me where she was. I said, I know she's somewhere near water and not in the same place. It's like her body is scattered.
Right. Now, do you often watch the news, or at least sometimes watch the news, and perhaps pick up things on where people are or what might have happened to them?
I can. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There was one, I have a friend, deaf, and her niece was killed. She worked at a gas station, and she wanted to know what happened to her niece, so she brought me over to the area, and I saw what happened to her. There was someone that actually came in and waited for her and actually killed her with a knife. And she asked me what he looked like, so I told her with a mullet. He had a mullet, and he was young, and I said, the knife is still around, but it's somewhere near water in the bridge, but the knife is hidden in the bridge somewhere. And there's a whole newspaper article written about him and where they found the knife. So, and he's now in jail for her murder.
Right.
And it's not the first person that he killed.
Now, when you do give a reading, do you try to stay positive? I mean, if you get something that would perhaps be bad news, obviously, if you get that they're going to be seriously ill or in a serious accident, perhaps, do you express that?
I do it in a way. I did a reading for a woman, and I knew I saw her husband die. I saw it. I knew he was close. But I told her, I said, does your husband have issues with upper respiratory or breathing or coughing, anything like that? And she said, yes. I said, well, do me a favor. Take him to the doctor. He needs to go to the doctor immediately. Whether it's 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks ago, a year ago, he needs to go ASAP. Just take him, please. So she said, okay, I did a reading for her. And then she calls me back 6 weeks later, and I asked her how she was, and she said, well, did you know my husband died? I said, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. She said, did you know he was going to die? I said, well, what happened? He said, well, after I did the reading for you, I took him to the doctor, and he had stage 4 lung cancer. There's nothing I could do about it, but I told her that she needed to take him to the doctor. She said, well, why didn't you tell me he was going to die? I said, I'm not God. I said, you know, what if he, would you have been mad at me if I told you he was going to die and he lived for another 50 years? I can't worry you like that, but I did tell you to take him to the doctor. When I see things, I tell you what I see. I'm real specific about details. I can see what you're wearing. I can see what the situation looks like. And I will always give you a time, but I'm not always exact on time, so I tell people, keep it in the back of your mind if you happen to see a situation that looks like this, and I also tell them how to avoid it. And I've gotten so many wonderful feedbacks of people who are almost in accidents or who had a situation where sometimes they might not listen to me. I told this one woman that her mom was going to fall and break her hip if she wasn't careful, because I described the room, what the mother was wearing, the mom had a cane, and what the carpeting looked like. And I said, make sure it's smoothed out, because if it's not, she's going to trip and fall and break her hip. I said, it'll probably be this month. Well, that month came and went. It was exactly the month I said, but a year later. Happened exactly the way I said it. So I'm not always on time, but
you can see things.
I can see. Mm-hmm. I'm real specific with details, like what it looks like and what you're wearing or who you're with or what you're doing, you know.
Would you ever advise somebody perhaps not to take a trip or something because you see something?
Yeah, I would. It's so funny because when I go on planes, I always look at people's auras. If most of the people, whether it's the stewardess, the pilot, some of the passengers, if they don't have auras, I'm off that plane. I'll take another plane.
Has that happened where you've actually walked off an aircraft?
No, it hasn't.
But you're willing to, right?
I am definitely willing to. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have no qualms about doing that. Mm-hmm.
Well, what is it about a person's aura that would tell you something? If you can't see something, would that be bad? I mean, everybody has an aura, I believe.
Yeah, everybody does have an aura. Normally, if you don't have an aura, that means, you know, you're not going to be around.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, but...
that wouldn't be good. No,
that would not be good. But when I look at auras, I can tell if people lie, if people are open-minded, if they're closed-minded, if they're not feeling well because the colors are not as bright, they're more dull or pale. If it shimmers, it means that, you know, they're not telling the truth. If it's out to here, it's like, yeah, I'm open, I'm happy, I'm. And if it's real close around their head or real tight around their head, it means that I'm in their space or they're testing me or, you know, go away, don't bother me, don't right. come around me. So right. I always look at that.
Mm-hmm. Do you do that just walking through, say, a mall,
yep.
Looking at people? Doesn't that kind of bother you after a while, or can you just shut it off?
I can shut it off.
Yeah.
I especially when people come up to me and say, well, can you read my hand? I said, no, I'm sorry, I'm off duty.
Yeah, right. This is not the time or place.
Right, right. Yeah.
Right. Sorry. What do you have to do to get ready to give a reading? Is there any special procedure you go through?
I just say a little prayer. You know, do that meditation thing for myself, and I bless myself, and I bless the person that I do the reading for, and always, you know, pray that I do a good job for everybody, because mm-hmm. that's my purpose, is to, you know, do the best that I can for people.
Right.
Yeah.
But you feel your mission in life is to help people through your psychic abilities.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's why I love what I do.
Right. Well, again, it's got to be very rewarding to be able to do that kind of a thing.
It is. I get to, you know, I've been doing this for 22 years, and I just love that. I've gotten so many wonderful feedback, and most of the people, I know, not most, but I would say like 30% of the people that I meet and do readings for, we become friends.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, you don't charge them as clients or whatever? I mean,
depends how close I am.
Okay. They're friends, and they're close friends, right?
Yeah, but most of my close friends, no. Nah. But they don't mm-hmm. take advantage of me either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
Now, normally, how long does a person come to you? It just depends on the situation and what they're after as far as information goes?
Right. You know, what I allow people to do, if I do a reading for you, I'll tell you, well, if you have an emergency, you really need to talk to me, just call me. I don't have a problem with that. You know, if it's one or two questions, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, if someone keeps calling me, it's like,
right.
can't do it for you
right.
anymore.
Do people, in essence, become addicted to your advice and your information so that they are doing that, calling you constantly?
Yes, and I have to say, when they do that, I have to say, you know what, let me find you. This is a really good reader for you. I think maybe you should give her a chance, because I know you too well. And I can't give you an unbiased opinion or what I see for you, so I'll suggest somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And again, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Laura Berlin, and she is a American Sign Language interpreter and professional psychic who specializes in readings for the deaf, but also does many other modalities. And I think we've talked more about the other modalities than signing for the deaf, but it's all interesting. Now, you said that you normally don't give yourself readings. Is that because you're too close to the situation and everybody has their wishes and biases and they want certain things to turn out a certain way, so it's kind of hard to be objective for
yeah.
your own self?
For myself, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but sometimes, you know, I'll get signs and signals. Like, years ago when I was trying to get pregnant, I used to hear the song by, any song by Little River Band. So I knew that was my sign, like, oh my God, I'm pregnant again, or oh my God, I'm pregnant again.
Oh, really? Was it a certain song that you
It was any hearing? Song by the Little River Band.
Oh, really?
And so now when I get signs and signals about anything, whatever I'm thinking about, I'll hear Bee Gees songs. So I know.
Really? That's weird, but
yeah, that's my sign and signal.
Yeah. Well, how does that happen? I mean, you just start hearing any kind of a Bee Gee tune, and
yep. Anytime I hit, let's say I'm thinking about I don't know, you know, going for my NIC, National Interpreter Certification.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been practicing studying for that. So every time I hear a Bee Gee song, I know I'm getting close. I know I'm going to pass.
Really?
I know I'm going to
yeah.
pass. That's my, and I can feel spirit around me. I can feel my dad around me. I can feel my aunts and uncles, my grandparents. I can feel them around me. And when I get that feeling, I know I'm going in there and I'm going to do a really good job, or whatever it is. It doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. have to be with tests, but whatever it is, I know I'm doing it right.
Right. It's going to be a positive experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's how I do readings for myself.
Huh.
But
that's
interesting. Yes, but I don't actually go into, you know, hypnosis for myself and just see what's going on. I might see little snippets.
Mm-hmm. But I would imagine, too, that you see things through dreams sometimes and have visions that way at all, or no?
No, I don't. Really? I'm not precognitive like no. that way. No, I'm not.
Hmm.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No.
Well, that's interesting, because sometimes I think that if people do pay attention to their dreams, you know, not that they're necessarily, you know, a professional psychic, but they can kind of get insight into their lives and the lives of others that, you know, what might be happening.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. I just met a girl the other day, and she doesn't believe in what I do, and mm-hmm. that's fine. And she came up to me and said, you know, I'm getting engaged. I said, oh, congratulations, very nice. She said, I had a dream that I would be meeting a man named Scott at this place, and she went to this place the next week, and she met a guy named Scott. I said, do you know this being called psychic? Do you know that's clairvoyant? She said, oh, no. I said, yeah, it is.
Yeah, no, it's just a dream, yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. That's right. Precognitive.
Right, so she was upset with that information?
Yes, she was.
Really?
And she
yeah.
took off, ran away.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about your family? Have they come around to really accept what you do, and they understand what you do?
My boys do, absolutely. Mm-hmm. My oldest son is psychic like I am.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as I am, but mm-hmm. He's got the ability. But it's really funny because there were things I would see about my boys that they didn't think I knew about. And every time I gave them, Mom, how do you know? And they'd get caught at it. Uh-huh. And they'd, you were right, Mom.
They probably got paranoid after a while, right? And
yeah.
Now they keep them in line, though, right? Because
yeah.
Mom's going to find out somehow, you know.
Right, right. But my boys, they want birthday readings. So
really?
On their
yeah.
birthday, they get birthday readings. They'll say, Mom, do you know what time it is? And they'll give me their watch to hold. No, I don't know what time it is. I don't know. Mom, here, take my watch. It's time.
Yeah, right. Just read it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of vibrations do you get when you hold somebody's watch or keys or a picture, or how do you describe that?
It's like a movie. In my mind, I see it as a movie or a still photo. So in corporation with the movie or the still photo, I'll hear something, or I'll see, like, if I know, when I see numbers real close to my face, I know it's happening. If I see 1, 2, 3, I know it's either 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, or 1 week. If the numbers are, you know, a little bit further, I know it's like maybe 6 months away. Mm-hmm. If it's real far, then I know it's future. So I do that, or I'll hear something, whatever I'm holding of yours, I might hear something, and I'll just say whatever it is I need to tell
like
you.
Like the Bee Gees, or not necessarily, or whatever works.
I hear voices. Mm-hmm. I actually do hear mm-hmm. voices, and it's like my guides and my angels that mm-hmm. will be telling me. If I told you something like, I see you losing a ring. If you have a gold ring with a onyx in the middle, I'm seeing you losing it. And then I might hear, well, just tell them not to take it off, or to, you know. So that's how I do the readings. I mean, that's how I hear things. My guides and my angels will tell me what I need to tell you. Or if I said, oh, you know, it's going to happen in, I wanted to tell you October, but really November came out, then that's what I really need to tell you, not October. I really need to tell mm-hmm. you November.
Right.
So they'll change what, I'll hear what they want me to change.
Mm-hmm. Right. But again, the time thing, it might be in the same time frame, but not the exact month or day.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. It's approximation.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And if people want to know about love, or their, you know, what does my guy look like? I don't like telling people what they look
right.
like. Because if I said, you know, oh, the love of your life is going to be, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, 6 foot, and, you know, they're going to be looking at everybody that
right.
looks like that.
Right.
So I will not tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Refuse.
Right. Well, there is such a thing as free will, don't you think? That, you know, people can change their minds. I mean,
oh,
I would
absolutely.
Imagine that you can tell them something and perhaps they won't follow your advice, or whatever the case may be, and maybe something else will turn up that will be just as good, if not better, but people do have that choice, right?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, like in describing people, again, you know, just because they're blonde hair, blue eyes, and 6 foot tall, you know, they could pick that person. It would be the, let's say, you know, oh, yes, you know, they fall in love and get married, and it was really the wrong person. It could have been somebody else.
Right.
So it's like,
that's... Well, your soulmate could be some 80-year-old Chinese lady, right? You never really
could
know.
Be,
maybe you just
know.
Don't meet them this lifetime.
That's true.
What I always say, like you were describing. They always think it's going to be their ideal mate, whatever they feel is the most attractive or whatever.
Right.
That's not necessarily the case, and I think that term is overused nowadays. You know,
right.
I've got to find my soulmate. Well,
I mean
good
you could
luck.
Be my soulmate. He could
right.
be my soulmate. Anybody can be a soulmate, you know?
Right. Right, exactly. It's just not, you know, going to be the love of your life necessarily.
Right.
Right. People don't seem to grasp that sometimes.
Right, because they think it's when they connect soulmate, it's the love of my life. It's
right.
someone I'm going to be with forever. But
right,
no.
It's their ideal person,
right.
you know,
right.
whoever that may be.
Right.
So how can people get in touch with you if they're interested in getting a reading or just talking to you?
Well, you can call me at 248-444-9665. That's my cell phone, or at my website at www.asklaura.org, or you can email me at mystik88@hotmail.com.
What's the significance of 88?
I know, I noticed that.
You know, because I have that in my email address, too. I'm just curious what your 88 is.
I was going for Mystic, and I put a number in, they said... it gave me 88, and I just like that number. 88 is 16, 16, 6 and 1 is 7.
Right.
Partner, so, yeah.
Well, I liked it because it was Charlie Sanders' number. He used to play for the Detroit Lions. So,
oh, is that right?
Know, yeah. That's why I have it in my email address, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, now, summing up everything, going forward, where do you see yourself in a few years? I mean, doing the same thing, or do you see yourself perhaps writing a book, anything like that?
Actually, I'm in the process of writing a book mm-hmm. about my experiences growing up, being psychic, how I became psychic, my experiences with out-of-body experiences, with past lives. It's a culmination of everything. So mm-hmm. I am writing a book. I'm teaching psychic development classes, self-hypnosis classes. I will never, ever, ever give up interpreting because I love it and mm-hmm. I can take it anywhere I want to go.
Right.
Same with psychic readings. I can go anywhere with that
mm-hmm.
and I love it. I mean, I've done readings for people all over the United States. I have a group in Las Vegas and Ohio and Indiana and Germany and England
really?
And Canada. So I'm like...
So you travel internationally sometimes? Or is
no,
this
it's
done
mostly
over the
Skype.
Phone?
Yeah, Skype.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have traveled to other countries, but mm-hmm. We just Skype.
Using Skype, is that effective?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because I can see you, and then I pick up mm-hmm. your energy. I can see your aura.
Right. Okay, yeah, but obviously you can't pick up something that belongs to that person, but... Their aura is something that
their
indicates
voice.
What's
oh.
going on?
Oh, yeah, their voice. Mm-hmm. I can hear it in there. I can pick up the energy from their voice. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I can do palmistry on Skype.
Oh, really? They just hold it up and just put it flat over the camera or something? Or how
yeah,
does that work? Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a great age. I mean, all the technology that's available that you can touch people worldwide. You know?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. I absolutely love what I do. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, this book that you're writing, is there a title, a working title at all? Or
yeah, actually, By the Grace of God.
Okay. Yeah, so look for that in, a couple more years? Or?
Oh, I don't know.
Don't
could
know.
Be. I don't know
yeah.
yet. I'm not quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the process of being
right.
written.
Right. Well, that's interesting, though, that you get your word out, you know, different ways, too, you know. And,
yeah.
I mean, all the experiences you've had and... I guess you feel some type of vindication knowing that you've helped people, and it really endorses what you do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the feedback I've gotten, the testimonials that I've gotten, I mean, I've been doing this for 22 years. The negative feedback I've gotten, I can count on one hand,
mm-hmm.
maybe one hand.
Mm-hmm.
People
Most are people usually are, positive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So... You try to stay positive, so they'll be positive. Is that your goal, or
yeah.
one of your goals?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want to go to a psychic where you're going to say, "Oh, you have such a lousy life." You
yeah,
know,
right.
you know what? You're just a loser.
Might as well just jump off the building somewhere and forget it, right?
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Right, yeah, I know.
I don't want to be responsible for somebody else's issues.
Yeah, right, or causing some other grim outcome that, you know, is not good. But well, that's very good, though, and thank you very much for being on the show. I really appreciate the fact that you were able to do it.
Oh, thank you so much. I've enjoyed this. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I would just like to thank my special guest this month, Laura Berlin, for being on the show. Very interesting. I talked to her, like I said, at the Women's Show out in Novi, and that's where I first met her and heard about the fact that she could sign for deaf people. And being an able-bodied person, you don't always think about things like that. So I thought that was an interesting niche that she had developed, and it was just fascinating to find out more about that. And again, all the things she does, again, some of the things that I'm very interested in, like past life regression and self-hypnosis, things like that, things that I feel can really improve people's lives if they use it correctly. I think that's always a positive tool. I also want to thank my producer, once again, for helping me out, Brandon McKay. He's always a big, big help, and every time he helps me produce this show, I appreciate all his effort. And be sure to join me on the third Tuesday of every month for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Have a great day, everybody.
WHFR, Dearborn. WHFR, the station making waves, proudly presents The Best of Broadway, a program featuring the best of American musical theater. Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Joe, your host. We've taken care of your tickets. Now let me escort you through 2 hours of enjoyment of The Best of Broadway.